You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
4 seconds left.
Good afternoon. Welcome to RBLR Sports Lightning. I'm Joe Zamataro, once again taking over hosting duties for Jake Ricker. I'm joined with Matt Gannon. This week, we have a little bit of news. We're going to be playing the bracket sensation that's all over Reddit and giving you our lineups. And then we'll touch on some upcoming dates that we have to look forward to as the season is rapidly approaching us. But first off, Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yeah, I've seen this challenge kind of posted everywhere. It's not even really delegated for just sports solely. I've seen it for like TV characters and other things like that. So I saw a hockey one posted. I figured, yeah, we'll steal that. It's some good September content as we're just slowly marching towards the start of the regular season, which kind of seems to be so close yet so far. So I figured, yeah, this will be a fun way to get us through.
Yeah, and we're going to do it with players that are currently on the roster, meaning for this upcoming season. So it also would be a little bit of a refresh or an introduction for certain players that are on the team. Before we get into it, though, not really Lightning news, former Lightning player news. Tyler Johnson, who actually has not been signed by any team, was just given a PTO with the Boston Bruins. That's a professional tryout where he'll get an opportunity to earn himself a spot on the team. I know that there's been a lot of people that have suggested PTO for Tyler Johnson back here in Tampa, but it is good to see him at least get one somewhere that he had a potential to play.
Yeah, even for being Boston, he's one of those guys that I'll still, be cheering for. It's always fun to see a Tyler Johnson goal. A lot of people, still are just attached to the name Tyler Johnson and not really the player. Like, love him to death. He was one of my first favorite players, but he's just not what he used to be. He started off super hot. It's just been a pretty rapid decline since then, but still, just a guy that everybody always cheers for. He's been a fan favorite. Even in Boston, he'll still be a guy that I semi cheer for, the usual, as long as it doesn't come at the Bolts expense. But hopefully he can get a at least a 1 year contract or something there. That'd be cool. But Boston's kind of slowly becoming the retirement home. It seems like they always sign a lot of these I'm not gonna say washed up, but these older players, like last year's like Van Riemsdyk, the year before it was Shattenkirk, Maroon. They're a little bit of Chicago East, but except they're actually still pretty good. So
yeah, and I hope we don't add Tyler Johnson to the list of players that we play that end up scoring against the Bolts, who have played here once before. But let's get into this bracket challenge. I'm looking forward to this. This is kind of cool as I was going through our roster for the upcoming season. Why don't you kind of take it away? And again, what we'll do is we'll try to put together a bracket for RBLR that we'll come to an agreement on, and that way we can debate each box.
Okay. Do we want to start with like columns or rows? Right now, top left is the most underrated, so I guess it's a good starting point. Do we want to go down or go right?
Top left, most underrated. I'm good with going rows before columns.
Okay. All right. So we'll go to the right then.
Correct. All right, then cool. Let's save best overall. We'll try not to do any repeats, and then best overall, we'll allow there to be a repeat since we have both best defender, best goalie, and best forward on there. So we'll have a repeat on that one.
Okay. So if we're not going to, if we're going to try to abstain from repeating, then most underrated, I really hope we don't use this guy again, but a guy who I always eternally think is extremely underrated, I'd say that's probably Brandon Hagel. He'll probably be relevant later in this list as well later. But right now, I think he's just a criminally underrated player. There's another guy I could use for it, but I see a box that I'd like him. So I'm going Hagel. Do you have somebody else you might think?
I was actually went defense with this with Radish, because he's somebody that, you know, he's kind of come out, but he was also, you know, was it a season and a half ago, he only had played a couple of games, and then he, you know, was able to play a full season last season. And I think that he's somebody that, you know, he's older in terms of the amount of how much experience he has. He's old for the number of games that he's played and kind of just breaking out. But I think that you know, he's been playing, you know, pretty well, enough so that he's just gotten top 4 minutes pretty regularly.
And it should speak volumes the way that I used to speak about Darren Radish and the way that I currently do and did towards the end of last season, where I did a full 180 on the guy. I could not stand to look at him, look at his jersey, have him in the lineup, nothing like that. And then, at, you know, towards the end of the season, I was like, this guy's a pretty valuable defenseman. I'm really starting to enjoy watching him. So you have officially swayed my opinion, Joe. I actually really do like that choice.
Yeah, and I mean, and the only other reason I'd say not to put on Hagel is that I think we all know how good he is. You know, it's the rest of the league that's starting to find out, and mm-hmm. he's a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
So let's lock that one in.
All right.
For most underrated player, the bald eagle, Darren Radish. Okay, all right. So on the other side of the coin, then, let's go with most overrated player. So I'll go with this one since you started with the last one. And I've been pretty vocal about this guy. I'm sure who I'm going to pick is not a surprise to you whatsoever. I'm going with Cirelli.
Interesting. I like it. But there was another guy that I also had in mind who's
okay.
A defender who I think you'll also agree with, but it might be Eric Chernak. Like, not, I don't know. This is actually kind of tough. You have me with Cirelli, but I think, I don't know. Chernak kind of has proven it. Sorelli's always been kind of ready for that breakout season. That's never really happened. So,
well, I mean, that's if we're looking at boxes that are coming up, there is one that says most potential.
Mm-hmm, that's what I was thinking, you know, which... Cirelli for.
and I'd say with the Chernak one, the most overrated, I think there was quite a few people calling for his head by the end of last season to, you know, be involved in a trade before we got McDonough.
Mm-hmm. So do we want to lock in?
Maybe I was just in an echo chamber and hearing myself cry that out.
It might be a little bit of that, but do we want to go with Cirelli? Are you pretty firm on that? Because I'm open.
You're pretty open on that one. I'm not mm-hmm. firm, but you know, I wouldn't mind going on that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's your call on this.
We'll lock in Cirelli.
All right, so most overrated player for the 2024-2025 season is Anthony Cirelli. All right, so we'll skip over best and go with the worst player. I'm going to say, since it says for the top three lines, a worst forward player, that's on the top three lines.
Oh, boy.
And given that Cirelli is no longer in the mix.
Oh, man, this is actually kind of a tough question. Top three lines, or are we doing top two lines? Top three, you know, I could choose somebody on that third line, and
that's kind of what I went with for mine. You know, we can try to handcuff ourselves and really pick someone that makes it a little bit more difficult. That's on the top two. I mean, that, man, now you're going to be upsetting somebody.
No, I don't want to handcuff ourselves too much. So I guess we'll go with three. Okay. I think we might be kind of synonymous with this one. Is it Connor Sherry?
See, I actually thought that he would be more of almost a fourth liner. I didn't put him in there for that, but he might be making an appearance later in the list.
Yeah. So who are you thinking for this one?
People are going to hate me for it, but Isamont.
I can agree with that. I mean, he's also a guy that would kind of fit in that, like, most potential category, too. Like we were saying on a show a couple weeks ago, like, all the tools are there. He just kind of, you know, can't really put it together. He's like a bit of a better version of Matthew Joseph, where he can kind of do it all but can't really do anything at the same time. So he's all flash and no finish.
Man, that is tough, because most potential, he's definitely up there. If he can... Mm-hmm. Start to get it together. And I think what he probably needs to do is be traded to another team, then play the Bolts a whole bunch of times. And I'm sure that he'd have a breakout season.
It works really well for them. So, well,
in that case, do you want to put a hold on Wurst to hit potential and come back after we decide who's got the most potential then?
Why not?
All right. Yeah. Well, just have some fun with the order here. Okay. So let's see. That would make that, you know, you went first on this last one. So is it me going first for potential?
Yeah. I don't think there really has to be any order to it. If you've got somebody that's sticking out to you, say it.
It seems silly, but given that we haven't actually seen him play, but Jake Guentzel, I think that he's got the most potential, and he's already rated as a very skilled two-way player. But I think we might see another side to him that can be unlocked given some time with maybe Kucherov.
So, sorry, my dog is throwing her bone around right now, if you can hear that. This might be a bit of a reach right now, but because he's technically not on the roster. But I was thinking Connor Geeky, like he objectively has the most potential. Again, I don't think he's technically on the opening night roster or anything, but I'd say objectively he has the highest, maybe not the highest ceiling, but he's the guy that everybody's kind of looking for when it comes to that the young guys, the future of the Bolts, if you will.
Well, I think that you're 100% right with that. I like that pick. He's somebody that is contracted by the team, so he's someone that I think makes the list. He's on their official Lightning roster for the website, so I like that. I think we should lock in for the most potential, being Connor Geeky.
All right. Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Most wasted potential. And a couple of years ago, there'd be some guys kind of easy to throw out there, but I'm kind of blanking on this one. If it was last year, it'd be ABB across the board. There was tons of potential there that was just kind of never really realized. But right now, I'm kind of struggling to figure out who might fill that spot.
So given that Cirelli was already taken for overrated, I kind of have it him for wasted potential as well. But I did have a backup, which hopefully was just a sophomore slump sort of thing. But I put in Nick Perbix.
I like that. Yeah, because he was amazing the year prior to this past season, and then it really did just kind of fall off. This might be one of the harder boxes to check off right now, but I'd probably agree with you with Nick Perbix.
All right, let's knock Nick Perbix off here and then come back to so Wurst on the team for forwards. Are we going to, since we don't have a potential thing, are we going to lock in Isamont? Or do you want?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Okay, so on to the best defender. Let's see. Yeah, best defender.
This is a hard one. How literal are we taking this?
As far as you want to go. I mean, I think we're going to both, I think everybody else is going to settle on the same name, but at least we have a couple of options that we could put in there.
Because when I see best defender, I'm leaning hard to Ryan McDonough. But if I saw best defenseman, I'd say Victor Hedman. So it's just the way that it's worded is kind of throwing me for a loop right now. It just depends how literal we want to take this. But as it's written, the first thing my brain went to was Ryan McDonough.
That's an absolutely great point. If you're talking truly defender, Mac is hard to beat. Let's go with your logic. I love that. Hedman is an amazing defenseman, but for defending, I'm really excited to have Ryan McDonough back because it's something that the team has really needed, especially on the heels of what happened last season.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it's just growing pains in the Blashill system, but yeah, Hedman's defensive game is quickly lapsing him. He's still got all the tools there offensively. He's still amazing, puck mover, shooter, and everything that comes with that. But yeah, the defense is quickly leaving his body. But now for maybe the hardest square of them all, best goalie. Matt Tompkins, easy answer for me.
Easy one, right? I mean, how funny is it that there's certain teams that, really have consistently had two starting goaltenders and play whole seasons with that? We've been so spoiled for, since basically Ben Bishop held down the fort in net, to have a stable goaltender situation. And obviously, you know, just aside, Vasi is still, even coming off some of these seasons, he still has to be rated as at least top five, if not top three, in the league for best goaltenders.
Mm-hmm, yeah, above average seasons for him. I mean, it's like an awful season for an average goalie. So a lot of people think he has fallen off, but it's just been a – here's Morgan right there. Just a multitude of different factors, surgeries, you know, poor, you know, defense, poor, you know, defensive players in front of him, whatever it might be. It's hard for me to point the finger at him a whole bunch, but he's still objectively a top three goaltender in the world. And every single player in the NHL will tell you the same thing. So that's an easy lock right there.
Absolutely. And I think we'll probably have to get a name tile, you know, just to be able to, every time Morgan pops up, just be able to put right right there, give our producer Eureka a little extra work, see if he can slip it in. Okay, another, I think, pretty easy one here is going to be the fastest skater on the team.
Braden Point.
It's hard to argue that. I wish I would have had it pulled up. Let me, you talk about his speed, and I'll see if I can pull it up a little bit.
Oh, man, you're making me vamp on the spot right now. I mean, Braden Point, that's his biggest asset is his speed. You know, he's got a pretty decent shot, and he's got pretty decent hands as well. But, man, it's his speed that's his X factor. I remember the 2018 All-Star game, I want to say it was the one in Tampa, where McDavid beat him out by, like, you know, a hundredth of a second or something like that. To be a hundredth of a second around a full ice rink behind a guy named Connor McDavid, that's some high praise right there. Are you on the
yep,
NHL
Edge? I got
Edge?
It. NHL Edge, the fourth fastest player for tracked speed in the NHL, Braden Point. It's among, you know, all players, and it's not even going to be close when you look at the Lightning. You know who 7th? You know who 7th is?
For fastest time
hit
speed?
Hit the max top speed during a game, but the, like, you know, the highest speed reached is the 7th fastest.
I don't know. I feel like this is a trick question.
No, it's not a trick. It's a former Bolts. It's your man crush.
Bogo?
Bogosian.
No way. You kidding me?
Yeah, he's number 7.
What the heck?
I wouldn't have thought he'd have been on the list at all, much less up there on 7.
I certainly wouldn't.
Owen Tippett, 24.2. Luke Hughes, 24.19. Connor McDavid, also 24.19. And then Braden Point, 24.15. So 0.04 of a mile an hour slower than, you know, to get that second place. So he's a quick player for sure. All right, so the fastest player for the Tampa Bay Lightning, we're going with Braden Point.
Now the slowest player, that one's interesting.
I mean, I have Edge pulled up here. I technically could find that out pretty quickly to actually. But let's do eye test first, and then I'll see who it actually is.
Man, that's a hard question. I mean, you know, I'm thinking of a big burly defenseman. I'm kind of thinking Chernak or something, but he's not that bad of a skater in my eyes, though. Like, I've seen him kind of, you know, use his feet, but
Chernak would be a good guess. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. That's a lot of man to move around the ice, mm-hmm. for sure.
I'm not sure, man. This is difficult. Do you have anybody that's immediately, you know, jumping out to you?
I put in somebody that might not be accurate, but I went age before beauty, and Luke Glendening, born in 1989. I figured that, you know, he's not going to be the fastest skater anymore, you know, given some of the younger people that we have on the team.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a good answer right there, too. I can imagine he'd be relevant in many of these other tiles around here. I like, even for, you know, a bad category like the slowest player, he's still a very, very good player. I love Luke Glendening a whole bunch. But, yeah, his feet were never really his best attribute. So I'm happy with Luke Glendening there. He might not be, but I am.
I'm going to try pulling up the on Edge. Edge is one of the slowest working sites for all these statistics.
I haven't played around with NHL Edge, but I heard, like, they're, you know, the way they have it set up is kind of So you can't see like the negative stats for players. Like they're there, but you got to do a heck of a lot of scrolling to get down. Like you can't sort from slowest to fastest, or, you know, the, you know, least amount of X mile an hour bursts or whatever you want to call it. Like they don't let you sort that well, that easy.
Yeah, this is it's not giving me anything quick. So we'll just continue on, and maybe I can have it pulled up, you know, before the end of the show, because it's still loading for team stats here. All right, so going to best forward, you know, it says best forward, didn't say best, you know, offense. So I mean, that kind of opens things up a little bit too.
Dang, me choosing best defender instead of best defenseman is kind of coming around to bite me. It's a tough question. I mean, immediately I'm thinking Nikita Kucherov, but for like the best overall player that we skipped earlier, it's also what I'm thinking. If we're trying not to do any repeats, the way you kind of introduced this tile, do you have anybody that's sticking out to you?
No, it's Kuch.
Okay, cool.
Put a little drama into it though, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Kuch, and you know, he doesn't have as much upside defensively as someone, you know, that especially if like a center. You know, a center is usually going to be in there a little bit deeper, going to be doing more on the defensive side of the puck. Kuch, you know, you've seen him be lazy at times, but he's got such an upside offensively that he definitely makes up for that quite a bit.
Oh, easily. And then even easier right here is the worst forward. I think we can probably plug in that Connor Sherry pick right about now.
That sounds great to me. Connor Sherry, lock him in, worst forward for the Lightning. You know, hopefully he ends up being the one that was underrated the most and has a hell of a year here coming up, because he's got the, I still think he's got the potential to. It's just he just never has gotten it going here with the Lightning.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make an audible tile real quick. There's one that I don't see on here, but one that I think would be kind of fun to do. Who do you think, we're only going to do one side of it. Who do you think the best dressed player on the team might be?
You know, I've always kind of liked what Cirelli brings in.
Yeah? Wow. You're too... Your opinions on Cirelli always get me confused. So,
hold on. I can like his looks off the ice and not his play on the ice.
Yeah, Cirelli's always looking pretty dapper. Vazzy's always a pretty good a lock. Yeah. If he can do something.
I gotta go
with
the Italian
that.
Guy, you know? I gotta.
Ah, there you go. Okay. Paisan. Oh, God. Yeah, no, that's probably a pretty good pick. But, you know, these fancy, yeah, you know, Italian suits tailored to their exact figure, making them look all spick and span and spiffy before they're walking into the arena. I know I personally can't afford it. I'm not going to, you know, make a guess on your financial situation if you've got any fancy Italian suits. But if you're just a common man like me or like Jake or like Michael, probably like Joe, head on over to shop.rblr sports. Oh, shoot. Did I mess up the ad transition? I forget if the sports isn't in there. Eureka's not throwing the panel. But yeah, the shop.rblr. .com
shop.rblrsports.com.
Okay, so I did get the sports right. Okay.
Yeah, just
shop.rblrsports.com. Use code BOLTS for 10% off all merch. We've got, you know, Rays themed, Bucks themed, Lightning themed, inspired merch for all your RBLR and Tampa Bay sports needs. Again, no fancy Italian suits, no skirts just yet, like I promised last week's, but we've got some really killer merch and shirts for you guys if you want to head on down that alley.
Nicely done, my friend.
I suppose.
I think that'd be the best dressed players would be ones that would rock in some RBLR swag. I like it.
How crazy would that be if you just saw like Kuch walking in with the three Stanley Cup shirt or something? I'd be like, oh my God.
I think that would definitely make our day for sure. Okay, let's go on to the last row that we have here, starting off is best handles. And I interpreted this as best like stick handling on the team. So I went with a guy that we've mentioned before, but haven't locked in anything with Hagel. He's had quite a few really sneaky moves, being able to use both his speed and his hands, which the faster you go, the harder it is to be able to stick handle. And he definitely has some speed when he's getting after it. Also has, you know, quite a few dangles that he's shown over the years. And since, you know, we don't really have Cooch to be able to use anymore, that's who I came up with.
So a lot of us aren't familiar with him yet, but Jake Gensel, he's a pretty flashy player, but not like, you know, in the way that, you know, Kucherov or Point might be, or even Stamkos at certain times, but he's a fine stick handler. Hagel, he's also a really good choice, but I don't really think of, you know, dangles when I'm thinking Hagel. Again, I'm hyping Gensel up for everybody. A lot of people don't really know who or what he is, but a lot of people are going to be pleasantly surprised with the player he is. That's who's kind of got my vote. I'd like to usher him in somewhere.
I'm all for that. I love it. I love it. You know, I was half apprehensive who did I just have in there?
Hagel.
Hagel in there. I just deleted him and forgot where I had him listed. I was apprehensive putting Hagel in there because we definitely have guys with better hands, but having not seen Gensel's, and I'll take your word for it.
All right. Now an interesting one, worst goalie. I don't think Matt Tompkins is still in the system, so I think we kind
of... He's still rostered, though.
Is he?
Okay. He's still on the official roster through the website, and Johansson's on there as well, so it really comes down to the two of them, and, you know, given that Tompkins is still on there, I think that's, you know, pretty easy for us, right?
Probably. It is a bit of a coin flip. They both proved to be, you know, valuable when necessary, but definitely not a number one kind of guy. Tompkins' numbers weren't ever really great, and Johansson's did kind of slip towards the end there, and really is just kind of who's not Vazzy. So you can plug and play either answer. Are we just going with Tompkins for this one for easy sake?
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's lock in Tompkins. Also, I like what JJ did for us down the stretch there with how many games he did play, mm-hmm. helped the team out, be able to earn that playoff spot. And, you know, Tompkins didn't do nearly as much for us. Next one, who's got the worst shot on the team? And I think this one's kind of funny. It's a guy that I have one that I definitely put in there. I want to hear who you have, if you have somebody.
I don't even really know who I'd be thinking. I mean, did we use Mikey Asamont for anything yet? I can't remember if we did or didn't.
We did worst forward. We locked him in as the worst forward for the top three.
Well, I don't know. When I think Mikey Asamon, I think Matthew Joseph, who I think never really could ever get a nice shot off on the puck or anything. So that's who I immediately went to. Who were you thinking?
I'm going with the guy that I actually really, really like. I think he's got a ton of potential. I was very excited when he was able to come onto the team last season and made it stick. Liljeberg. He is a great defenseman, but oh my god, he missed the net by yards, you know. He missed the not by by inches, not by feet, but measurable in yards last season. He had, I know some of it was probably also a lack of confidence trying to get a shot off quick so it didn't get blocked and go the other way, but he never looked comfortable shooting the puck from the point when anytime he had the slightest hint of pressure. And oftentimes, you know, you could tell the difference between a shot and a dump, and his shots were missing big.
Yeah, I guess it was his defensive game that really did stick out to us. He probably finished the season with what, like a handful of assists? If it's even a handful, it might be like two or something like that. That's not the reason why you or I really, you know, fell in love quick with him. It was the way he could separate men from the puck and lay the body whenever he needed to / wanted to. I'll agree with you there. Yeah, he definitely did not have an accurate shot by any stretch there. And, you know, that's something we can, you know, he can work on too. So maybe he rounds that out and he's maybe got a permanent spot in this lineup for the coming season. But I'm happy with the Liljeberg spot there. Again, he might not be happy, but I'll be happy with that spot there.
He did get 5 assists last season.
So a handful. Ended up,
literally one full hand and no goals. So we're still waiting to see the first one of those. And hopefully that does come next season. Maybe he spends the summer working with the, you know, his front loader washing machine, doing the old Sidney Crosby drills, and just practices on shooting quite a bit.
That'd right. be great. We see a lot of potential in this guy. I know at least you and I do. So,
oh, absolutely.
Now for the best shot. This, I don't know, it's not necessarily a hard one. Like, I immediately was thinking Cooch, but we've used him already. If this was last year, it'd be Stamkos. So really kind of the next best, you know, person I could think of, which, you know, by no slouch, you know, in the shot department, Victor Hedman. I'd like to get him in this list somewhere. He's got an awesome slap shot. He's got a great snap shot. He's got a great wrist shot. Yeah. Like,
and when you think about him doing all the shootouts, he doesn't usually beat a goalie by making a smooth move. It's by having a deceptive shot that he blasts past the goaltender. My person for it was going to be Nick Paul, somebody that Phil Esposito on the radio would just praise almost nonstop about what a great shot this kid has. I probably heard that exact quote, you know, 3-4 dozen times, even when he's not scoring, just be able to get to get his shot to the front of the net or you know, get it off. But I like, you know, I like getting Hedman in there too. I like your choice.
If it wasn't going to be Hedman, it would be Nick Paul. He's got a great wrist shot at the very least, like an extremely underrated shot as well. Like, you, thank you for bringing it up. Phil Esposito loves talking about his shot, and I love seeing his shot, but I wish he'd use it a little bit more. Like Victor Hedman, he's known for, you know, a big booming clapper like he does. So I'll probably go, yeah, I think we're happy with Victor on the best shot.
Yeah, let's lock in Victor Hedman, best shot on the Lightning.
So,
okay, so that pulls us back up to the best player overall, and we can do a repeat on this tile since you know, all that we'd have left after filling in was at 4x4, 15 players. wouldn't leave us with much otherwise. So best player, do you have somebody you'd like to throw out there?
Well, because we have mentioned him a couple of times and, you know, rather recently as well. It's got to be Nick Paul, you know.
Nick Paul does it all.
No, I mean, we can't be fooling ourselves. Actually, no. We did have a bit of a conversation about this before the show. You were leaning Vazzy, but I was leaning Cooch. I'm not sure if I can't remember if we came to a consensus or not.
I think we decided to not come to an agreement just so we could hash it out on the show. So, what's your, you know, I'll give you one of the reasons I was saying Vasi is, and it might be inaccurate after seeing what the team did with JJ and Ned, is I don't think that they can win games without Vasilevsky, you know, without his consistency. But, you know, I can also see the other side of that too. Can't really win without Cooch either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at least for this past season, it was definitely Kucherov. Without a doubt, it was Kucherov. But I don't think we're just basing it on last season, like this best player. You know, Kucherov doesn't have a Conn Smythe. Like Vasilevsky, I'm not going to say he single-handedly won us that 2021 Cup, but he was objectively the most deserving player to win that Conn Smythe trophy. He was no doubt our MVP. Kucherov, he was definitely our second best player that year, and he was our second best player in the 2020 year. Victor Hedman, I still think he definitely deserved the Conn Smythe over Kucherov, but it's really hard, you know. They kind of do, maybe not alternate greatness, you know, alternate years, but 144 points is extremely hard to replicate. You know, I'm not calling it a fluke by any means, but that's an insane year. It's going to be hard to duplicate that year. What Vasilevsky can do is he does bring a lot more stability. You know, if things aren't working up front, he's a guy that you can lean back on. But over the last 2 years, that consistency hasn't really been there where Cooch has been there. I really am kind of talking myself out of both options right now.
I mean, you have me leaning now, actually, at this point, more towards Cooch. You know, he's a guy that really, when he gets explosive, he brings the rest of the team with him. And I don't know that we've seen Hedman over the last, definitely not really last season. And it's been I feel like it's been a while since he's like won a game on his own, but we've definitely seen Cooch take over games multiple times in the season. So he might be our best asset on the team right now.
Yeah, the way you just put it, you know, who has kind of won us games, stole us games. Like, it kind of used to be Vazzy, but at least, you know, going on the last 2 years, especially this last year, it's been Cooch that has single-handedly won us and stole us some games. It's really impressive for you to do as a forward. You know, as a goalie, it's extremely impressive, but for you to, you know, you can be a brick wall, you can stonewall a team all game, but for you to, you know, put up 4, 5, 6 points, you know, just kind of on your own with your magical passing and, you know, willing the puck into the back of the net off of a teammate's stick, something like that. That's very impressive. So are we going to lock in Cooch for that?
Lock him in. Best player for the 2024-2025 Lightning is Kucherov. All right. That's not too bad. I like who we came up with. Had a couple of unexpected things in there, and it's interesting to see the different options. And, you know, if you're watching this right now, drop a comment in the video. Who do you think would be a better player or a better choice for some of these different categories? You know, let us know if you agree with us, and even better, why you don't. This was a fun one.
Yeah, there were definitely some, maybe not harder than I thought it would be, but like as we were kind of getting down to the list, not trying to repeat players, it definitely got harder than I thought it'd be. So.
Well, up next, we've got what we have to look forward to for the Lightning, because we're quickly approaching the actual season. And before you know it, we're actually going to have skaters on the ice. The notable dates coming up for the Lightning and the start of the season, actually the first one's right around the corner. It's a week away. September 11th marks the start of the Lightning Prospects Camp. And that's one of the ones that are at TGH, where you can, if you get their full schedule, usually there are open times where you can go and watch some of the guys there. But the big one is going to be September 19th, which is the start date to the full training camp for the Bolts. That's, 2 weeks away, basically, from the time of this video. So we're right around the corner from actually seeing our guys take full strides on the ice. The first one I do know is going to be at TGH Iceplex on the 19th, and that is usually open again to fans to come and see their guys skate and do their drills. The first preseason games against the Hurricanes, September 24th, with the home opener, or with the season opener being October 11th against Carolina, and October 12th, the next day, the home opener against Carolina. So we're finally really coming right into the start of the season. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I guess when you put it this way, by next week's Lightning show, we will be 1 month away. You look how excited Morgan is right now for that news.
We need the little banner.
By next week's show. So that puts it into perspective. It's making it seem like it's a lot closer than it feels right now. Again, I've got football to hold me over right now, but it's cool that, oh my God, that was a loud lightning. Look, it's an omen, so it's right there.
Oh, it's absolutely downpouring here as well, so it's, a good sign. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. We definitely appreciate it. If you aren't a subscriber, be sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell on YouTube, where we most often do these podcasts live. We love hearing your comments and input, so drop us a note down below. Thank you again. Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.